Well, all right. Praise the Lord. What a blessing it is again to be in the house of God this morning. I'm a little bit excited today to be able to preach the second installment of our What Is Your Faith series. And so you'll have to bear with me in my excitement a little bit as we move along in the sermon this morning. Do pray that you're able to keep up steadfastly. I'm going to go ahead and give you an advance warning, if you will. We will be reading quite a few scriptures this morning, and we will be probably jumping not long apart from one another. In other words, it'll only be a chapter here and a chapter there, so you'll only be one or two pages apart from one another this morning, and but do ask you to follow along intently. Before we get started today, I want to remind you tonight we will go back into our Judges series this evening for a message from Judges chapter 3. And so if you're available this evening at 5:30, let's be in our place here for our evening service at Seren Chapel, and so that we may lift up the Word of God, that we may draw close unto Him and increase our faith continually. Genesis in chapter 12 this morning. Genesis in chapter 12. And in this next portion, last week, you know, we spoke about the doctrine of faith, the doctrine of faith. And in this portion here this morning, I want to go over a topic that I've titled The Decline and Decision of Faith. The Decline and Decision of Faith. So it's actually a two-part message put together in a one-part portion. So there'll be points 1, 2, and 3, and then there'll be another point 1, 2, and 3. We'll look at the decline first, and then we'll go into the decision of faith. Genesis in chapter 12. If you were there in your Bible already this morning, let us stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. We'll read verses 1 through 7. We'll pray, and we'll have a seat for just a while as the Word of God speaks unto our hearts. Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, all their substance that they had gathered, and the soul that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto a place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." There builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Father, we do thank you, dear Lord, for the blessed opportunity and time to be together again. Lord, take thy precious word, write it upon the table of our hearts today. Lord, I pray that through this message we may be able to evaluate not only the decline that we see of faith, but the decision of faith and that which it does in our life and in our future. Lord, establish it upon our hearts today with thy biblical precepts, with thy truth, we ask. In Jesus Christ's glorious name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. And please be seated if you will. I do want to go, before I go any further, I want to say thank you to everyone for your willingness to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God week after week and service after service. Genesis chapter 12 is a remarkable chapter in the Word of God. We can understand and see here how Abraham obeyed God and he was faithful unto God. But there's quite a few other things that we will see inside the chapter as well this morning. James said of Abraham that, "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." That's in James 2:23. The Apostle Paul said in the infamous Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, saying, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went." All of these things are true. And faith granted Abraham righteousness, just as we have read in several scriptures written in the Word of God. Beloved, it is faith that allows man to have a relationship with God. It is faith, beloved, that allows a man to have an eternity with God. It is faith that allows the believer to rest in the blessed hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ one day. I'll tell you what faith is not this morning. Number one, faith is not man maneuvered. We find in verse 1 of our text this morning that God Himself said, I will show thee. Faith is not man-made. We find in the second verse of our text that God says, I will make thee, I will bless thee. Faith is not man-motivated, as we find in verse 3. I will bless them. Faith and faith alone is the product of God's grace. It is imputed in His creation for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to seek and to trust God Himself. Faith is the dependency when life is dim. Faith is to trust in God in the life's trials. Faith is belief in the midst of life's blunders. And faith is all we have sometimes in this life. And guys, can I say this to you this morning quite plainly? Sometimes, and in reality, faith is all we need. There's been so many mistakes that have been made and committed by the mouth and by manuscript just for not exercising the faith that God has given us. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. In the life of believers, even in the life of Abraham, we find that there is a decline and a decision of faith. We see in the verses that we've read already this morning that God commanded Abram to, basically, for lack of better terms, to get out of Dodge. He said, it's time for you to go. The Bible says that he went out not knowing whither he went. He believed God. Fair enough. I don't know of any of us in here right now that if you felt the urge to leave and to move from your home in the blink of an eye, in a moment of an eye, I don't know how easy it would be for you to do so. But Abraham did that. He picked up and he left, not knowing where he was going, didn't have a destination to go. He believed God. But yet, while acting upon that same belief, I want you to notice the decline of faith in the midst of despair. Look in chapter 12 and in verse 10 with me. Chapter 12 and verse 10, we've already seen the fact that Abraham obeyed God. We've already seen the fact that Abraham moved when God said move. But look in chapter 12, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For their famine was grievous, in the land. Came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Now that's a very nice compliment to make to your wife, amen? That's a good thing to say. But his motives was a little bit wrong. Therefore, verse 12, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. You say, well, preacher, what's the problem there? What's going on? There's a famine in the land. I can understand why he was going down to Egypt. I can understand that. I want you to see here that here's Abraham who believed God, who left his home, left the land. He went out not knowing where he was going to go. God appeared unto him. He built altars. He honored the Lord. He praised his name. Yet the minute trouble comes in his life, a famine in the land, if you will, we see that Abram ran to the world for help. You see, my friend, Egypt will always be, throughout the Word of God and throughout history, a picture of the world. In typology, it is a picture of the world. And the first thing Abraham does, I know his name is Abram at this present time in Scripture, but the first thing that Abram does is he runs to the world for help. I want you to notice that the lack of faith led to a falsehood. Look at verse 13. We've already read it. Say, I pray that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Now, I understand we'll look in another verse. We won't see it right now. You may say, well, preacher, but wait a second here. That's not really a falsehood, because technically Sarai is his half-sister. She's a little bit removed there. And so, some people say, well, he wasn't really lying. Guys, can I tell you this, that a half-truth is a whole lie? Amen? You know, what makes a lie a lie? If I tell you something and I say, well, you know what? the sun was shining. And it's black as night. And it's, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the middle of winter time. And I say, well, the sun's shining. Now we could look around and we see the sun's not shining, but technically the sun's shining on the other side of the earth, right? The sun's shining somewhere all the time. But the intent of my heart is to deceive you that the sun is shining. Amen? You get the picture. You say, well, that's silly. So is this. Amen? The intent of his heart was to deceive the Egyptians so they would not take her and then kill him. So what we find is the lack of faith that got him in Egypt, first of all, led to a falsehood in his life. This falsehood led to a frustration. Look in verses 17 and 18. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because Sarai, Abram's wife, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? It was a frustration, a problem, an issue that came about. So this falsehood led to a frustration, and this frustration led to a forfeiture. Look in verse 19. Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to be a wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her. And he says, go thy way. The decline of faith did not begin in the midst of despair, my friend. You may be looking at these scriptures and saying, what is the big deal? What's the problem? Pharaoh's a wicked guy. Who cares if he's frustrated? Can I tell you what Abraham just did? Can I tell you what Abram just did? The guy that left Haran by faith in God, by obedience in God, going where he didn't know where to go. God just said leave, so he left. And now he's down in Egypt in the midst of a famine. And now he lied unto Pharaoh. He just lost his opportunity to be a testimony unto Pharaoh, my friend. We may sit here and say, oh, well, so what? Well, so what about Pharaoh? Guys, it can take you 30, 40, 50 years to build a Christian testimony. It may take you 30 seconds to lose it. And it all starts with the lack of faith. Notice, I want you to understand that the decline of faith did not begin in the midst of despair. It didn't begin right here when they wandered down into Egypt because of the famine in the land. His lack of faith, it didn't start when he was in despair, but it was rather built upon the foundation of doubt, my friend. There's an old poem that says, doubt sees obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes, faith says I. Beloved, doubt is the destructive seed of mankind. Let's go back to Genesis 12 and look in verse 1 with me, if you will. Genesis chapter 12 and look in verse 1. The Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. If you go back here and we read, and it seems as if Abram followed the orders by leaving. But here's what I want you to understand here this morning, if you will, when we're looking at the decline of faith first and foremost. Partial obedience is still complete disobedience. There's a saying that says 80% complete is still 100% incomplete. You see, in verse 4, it says, as the Lord had spoken unto him, if you look there in Genesis 12, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. But read on in the scriptures. It says, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. They went forth into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. Even though Abram leaves Egypt at this present time in the end of this chapter and returns to Bethel, the initial seed of doubt in God proves to be detrimental. It proves to be detrimental. And again, we're going to look in chapter 13 now, and you see what I mean when I say that. What did God, let me ask you before you read on. What did God say unto Abram? He said, let's make it simple. He said, go, and I'll show you. Right? Here's what he did not say. Go get your nephew and all his substance, and all your substance, and all of your souls. He spoke to Abram. He didn't speak to the rest of them. Amen? But there was an initial seed of doubt somewhere along the line. Even though he obeyed physically, this whole massive group that he had gathered together went alongside of him. Now look at the detriment here in Genesis 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was rich. That's the first time the word rich shows up in the Bible right there, verse 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. One thing you'll find that Lot did not have is he didn't have an altar. And that's a message for another day. You can write that down in the margin of your notes if you would like to. Verse 6. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled there, then in the land. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Beloved, can I say this to you just plain this morning? Lot was never supposed to be out of Haran. Lot was never supposed to go with Abram. He was never supposed to be in the land in which God had said unto Abram, I will show you. Remember, the commandment in verse 1 in chapter 12 was unto Abraham. It wasn't unto anyone else. It wasn't unto Lot. It wasn't unto his brother. It wasn't unto any of those people. It was only unto Abraham. And he and his wife were to go. What's the reason? What's the problem of this issue here in chapter 13? Look in verse 5. It's because of flocks and herds. You got herdmen, you have those that are shepherds, you got those that have flocks of sheep, and you got herds of cattle. And the reality is that both cattle and sheep cannot coexist on the same land. The land cannot provide the same for sheep at the same time that it provides for cattle, for they eat in a different manner. If you ever notice how a sheep eats, it eats with its teeth all the way down, okay, all the way down to the ground. And that's why sheep periodically have to be moved out of the pasture, and that pasture has to be laid alone for a while so the nutrients can grow back into the grass. But a cow eats differently. It takes its tongue and it wraps it around the grass, pulls it up, and they can't coexist together. Listen, guys, I'm trying to tell you that there was no business. Lot had no business being with Abram, but because Abram took him with him, the results were strife. The results was problems, and the response was strife in verse 7 that we see. But I want you to see now, even more so, I want you to see the result. This is the result of doubt. Look it with me, if you will, in verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram, the Bible says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, the Bible says. Now we know the rest of the story. Lot ended up having to be rescued by Abraham twice. He vexed himself daily with the wickedness of the people of Sodom. He moved into Sodom. His entire family, outside of two people, were completely lost and perished. Now we won't go into it, but you know the rest of the story. You know when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up to Abraham there, this angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate image of the Lord Jesus Christ, along with those two other angels in the plains of Mamre, and Abraham began to plead with God. Peradventure you find 50, peradventure 40, peradventure 30, peradventure 20, peradventure 10. No doubt in my mind, the poor old Abram was counting that family of Lot down there. Lot had still had two daughters that had never married. The Bible says that he had other daughters and sons-in-laws, which means there was plural. If you add that up, he would have had at least 10 in his family. And Sodom would have been spared. But because he couldn't even get the rest of his family to obey him, Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities of the plain were destroyed.
and only three souls survived. Here's food for thought here, if you will. Lot took his family down into a wicked city. The Bible says that he vexed his righteous soul. Just Lot vexed his righteous soul with the wickedness of Sodom. At the end of the story, when the warnings came, the angels told him, said, don't you even look back. No matter what you hear, don't look back. Lot and his wife and his two young daughters leave that city. When that brimstone starts falling and that city begins to be destroyed, Lot's wife stopped and she looked back. The Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. You say, what's the moral of that story? What's the meaning of that? He got his wife out of there, but her heart was still in that city. And he's the one that took her down there. But guys, I want you to stop for a second and think about this. This is what happens in the decline of faith. The result is pain and suffering, not only for those who are in despair, not only for those who are in the midst of doubting, but quite often the decision, the choice that we make in the decline of faith affects those that are around us. It affected Lot and his family. They were never supposed to leave Haran. Abram took them with him. The decline of faith and doubting of faith leads to disbelief. Look over in Genesis chapter 16 with me this morning as we see a brief synopsis of this situation. Genesis in chapter 16, this is what the Bible says. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Guys, the seed was promised unto Abraham. It was promised unto Abraham. It was promised through Sarai, his wife, whose name was later changed to Sarah, and Abram's name later changed to Abraham. The foundation of doubt bloomed in time of despair, produced the fruit of disbelief, and it gave birth to a wicked person, a wild man upon the earth that would haunt the nation of Israel, as well as the rest of the world until the end of time with the birth of Ishmael. When we fail to believe God, and to obey. Beloved, there are repercussions, and most often, not only repercussions for us, but begins to affect all of those that are around us, our family, our own countrymen, our own neighbors, our own friends. That's the decline of faith. Beloved, I don't want to end on a negative this morning. What about the decision of faith this morning? What about the decision of faith? I want you to notice here in the same portion of Scripture where you are, but just one chapter back. Look with me in Genesis chapter 15. And yes, this is kind of a synopsis, if you will, a survey of Abraham's faith and how his decision and the choice that he makes begins to be a blessing unto people. Notice with me the determination this morning, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord and he counted him for righteousness. We know that Abraham's struggles and his decline in faith is not over. We understand that. But my friend, we also know in the next chapter that the disbelief comes in. And we know that an illegitimate child is born, not promised of God. But here we find that Abraham believed God, that the seed would come through him, that his faith was sincere, and that his faith was true, and that his faith was real. God accounted it unto him for righteousness. Abraham's faith, I need to tell you this morning, was determined. And his determination of faith in the decision requires a demonstration.
I want you to advance many years right now to Genesis chapter 22 with me. Genesis chapter 22 here this morning. I want you to notice with me this morning quite clearly that you find that his determination in faith required by God a demonstration of his faith. We've advanced about 30 years later now from Genesis chapter 15. Isaac is born. He's a 30-some-odd-year-old child, we believe that he is. And we find here in Genesis 22 and in verse 1, and it came to pass, after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. By the way, this is the first time the word lovest shows up in the Bible, verse 2. Verse 3 says, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young man, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. First time in the Bible the word worship shows up is in verse 5 right there, as Abraham himself is prepared to demonstrate his faith in God, that nothing was between him and his Lord, as he would march up that Mount Moriah, which later on became named the city of Jerusalem, the city of palms, if you will, to the very place where the Lord Jesus Christ himself was crucified. Beloved, it was 30 years later, and after making all the mistakes that Abraham had made, he believed God. He was called the friend of God. And today, we find that Abraham's friendship and Abraham's faithfulness would be tested. And whereas we're told in Genesis chapter 15 that Isaac would be born, later on we find that it will be tested. The determination required a demonstration from Abraham to prove his faith to God. Because of Abraham's demonstration of faith, his decision of faith produced deliverance by faith. Look in verse 12 with me. Verse 12 is said, as Abraham had taken him up there, he placed him on the altar. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Beloved, I want you to understand about your decision of faith this morning. When you decide to obey and follow God and what He would have you to do, when you obey Him not knowing whether the outcome would be, but when you demonstrate unto God just sheer and pure obedience, the mighty hand of God is upon you in blessings, in protection, in providence. Spurgeon said, A little faith will bring your soul to heaven. We know that in being saved. But he said, Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Beloved, faith delivers you when it's demonstrated upon a determination in the midst of a decision that you must make in your life. And many times we enter into the valley of decision, a place where we must decide to exercise our faith or exterminate our faith. The decline of faith will always begin in doubt, uncertain of what may or may not happen on the other side. But the decision of faith will begin with determination. I look back in history and I study and read. And after the deliverance at Dunkirk, Churchill rallied Britain with his most memorable speech, and this is what he said. He said, We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and the streets, we shall fight in the hills, he said. He said, We shall never surrender. Oh, if you look at Abraham's life, the mistake he made in Egypt, the mistake he made in taking Lot, the mistake he made in obeying his wife, Sarai, to go in unto Hagar. One would have thought, my soul, he just had to give up and quit, but he did not. He was determined. You see, beloved, this is fighting the good fight of faith, that the Apostle Paul says. To never surrender to your fears, to wait and press on and stop fueling fears in your life for what the future may or may not hold, and have faith in God.
to leave where you've been, to obey God, a decision that we all must make somewhere along the line, to trust in the Lord to do that which is right in His eyes, despite what those around you may be doing. To trust in the Lord that when it goes against every part and the fiber of your own being and your natural understanding, but to do that which is right that God has commanded us to do. That's the decision of faith. And can I tell you this morning, just in closing, that's the difference. That's the difference of someone who will obey God fully and faithfully, is not knowing the outcome. And quit looking a year, 2 years, 2 weeks, 2 months down the line and fueling that fear for the unknown. And simply have faith in God and do what He would have you to do on the here and now, and let God handle what's on the other side. There is a decline of faith. We've all experienced it, unfortunately. Amen? But there's a decision of faith. And I pray to God today that if you have not experienced the decision of faith in your Christianity, that you would choose to obey the Lord today, to trust Him, to exercise your faith and not exterminate it. As Abraham, the mighty friend of God, was imputed righteousness unto him, not because of his good looks, not because of his wealth, not because of his ability, but simply because he believed God, because of his faith. In his faith alone, righteousness was imputed unto him. You bow your heads this morning. Father, we do thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for who and what you are, and we thank you, Lord, for this great example of faith that we find in Abraham's life. And Lord, as we can look in the Scriptures and see the decline of faith in the areas of where he may not have trusted you, you still counted him as a friend. Righteousness was imputed upon him because he believed God. And he obeyed God. So let us today, dear Lord, take upon this example. Make the decision, Father, to obey you in every aspect of our life, every aspect of our walk, every aspect, Lord, that we have, knowing that our faith, fueled by the Word of God, not only has an effect on us personally, but has an effect on those that are around us, spiritually, physically, Father, quite oftentimes, eternally. Lord, touch your people today. Bless them richly with your word. Grant us now, dear God, peace that passeth all understanding through faith in the written word of God. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. I hope and pray that the Lord was